Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to part two of our lovely chat with Christine Vachon. If you haven't heard part one yet, pump the brakes, go back to the feed, listen to part one. And if you have listened to part one, I'll step aside and let you enjoy.
I wanted to ask you about queer cinema. Mm-hmm. And I often hear you being asked about it. And do you feel like you are a spokesperson for it? Or do you think that that's not a role that...
You know, it used to really bug me when a lot of, like, you know, queer actors or directors or writers would say, I consider myself, you know, a writer first or an artist first. And then, you know, I'd be like, oh, come on, just, like, own who you are. But I also think that, you know, I think that there's a nostalgia a little bit for that period in the early 90s when people were making those movies. Mm-hmm. But when people were making the movies that we think of now as the new queer cinema or as old queer cinema. Yeah. But what people are taking out of that equation is the sense of urgency that was the AIDS crisis.
Right.
And that people were telling these stories because they had a sense of urgency that if they didn't tell their story now, they'd never have the opportunity to. So that has so colored everything so much. I think to how I view the history of what we call queer cinema. Now I think, you know, I think because one of the ways in which I was able to start my career was because I recognized at some level that that if you made a movie just for the queer audience and you made it for the right amount of money, they would show up and you could make your money back, which was crazy empowering.
Yeah.
You know, and people were so desperate to see themselves on screen that, you know, they'd go see something like Poison, which was very, very experimental. And I remember standing outside of the Angelica where it broke records that weren't beaten for years and seeing a lot of, you know, boys coming out of there going, what the, what was that movie?
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to see some boys kissing.
Right.
It was all that other stuff.
That's funny.
So, you know, but so that whole notion of underserved audiences was really, was incredibly empowering. And now, of course, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's, you can decide you want to watch a queer movie, but it has to be, you know, check off these six boxes and you'll probably find it.
Yeah.
Yes. But but with shows like HBO doing Euphoria, like...
Right.
And that is so queer in every way. Like, do you think that is an exciting new future, or do you think that's just an anomaly?
I think that there is a push right now to try to be very, very inclusive and to tell these different stories. And like everything, I mean, look, it's the 20th anniversary of Boys Don't Cry. And the New York Times did a piece about that was basically like, well, could you make it with an actor who isn't transgender today?
Yeah.
Right.
And And there was, you know, I think it's the first of several articles that are going to come out about the movie. And look, I'm delighted we were involved in a film that people are still talking about 20 years later.
Yeah, an extraordinary film.
But I also think it's, you know, it's an interesting conversation, you know?
Because the thing is, it's for me, all those conversations about are about, comes down to money, that, you know, why you need a non-trans actor or a non-whatever actor
right.
to play something is because there aren't enough trans actors who are well known enough to actually for the
right.
you know to finance the thing or to for the people who are giving the money to feel confident that right. they're going to get a return. So what you have to do is have more things with trans people in so that they right. become more famous, so that we cover, you know what I mean? So there's a you have to kind of take a chance sometimes to make the balance
that's right
swing over.
Yeah, but do you feel that, do you think it would have been made with that, with a star who wasn't trans now?
But, I don't know. You know, I don't really have that crystal ball, and I also, that story was very much of its time.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, it was.
And also Hillary, nobody knew who Hillary
nobody
was.
Nobody knew who Hillary was. Yeah,
oh, really? Was oh, okay. Sorry, no. I thought she was a bit of a star.
No.
No, right. She'd had, at that point in her career, I believe she had had what they call an arc on 90210.
Wow.
And she had been in Karate Kid 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But that was it. I mean, I do think it was really important to have an actor play that part who nobody knew, so yeah, that
you could
your experience as an audience member was,
yes.
you know, a stranger comes to town, who is
yes.
that?
Well, yeah, because, so lots of, in my job, like I'm a director, you know, people say, oh, well, can a straight person play a gay role, and can a gay person play a straight role? And, you know, like, I genuinely don't have the answer. You know what I mean?
It's like they do all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
But also, I think, my thing about that is that I think if you're not convincing in anything, then you shouldn't play it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, right,
and
sure.
And that's what I think. Sometimes I do get a little pissed off when some gay actors or queer actors sort of say, oh, blah, 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 my career, you know, ended because I came out and I didn't get this part. And I think, well, maybe you weren't very good in those parts.
Right,
and that's why
right.
you didn't get them. Or right. maybe that, you know, don't, I think, I found that, some people aren't very convincing at playing straight. That's you know, that's just the way it is, and so they shouldn't.
Listen, I was terrible. But do you think Brokeback would be made today, or would there not be a conversation about it? So what would the hook be?
I just don't know. It's I feel like, you know, there's but there's also, look, I was about to say, right now it feels like you have to, yeah. you know, you have to. It's sort of a narrow, it's so easy to feel like, oh, you went off in the wrong direction and your community comes down on you. But that was happening back when we made Swoon. We were boycotted and picketed, etc.
Really?
Yes, because that was the time where there was an obsession around the notion of positive images, and that because there was this whole, you know, everyone was dying. There was this whole thing of like, well, the country's allowing us to die because they don't know that we're actually just like them. And then if you do a movie about two men who are lovers who kill a small child, then, you know, you're feeding into the demonic.
Kind of see their point, yeah.
But I was like, you know, everyone has their own idea of a positive image,
right.
you know, and.
But also there's the sense of like breadth for gay stories as well, right? Which
right.
I imagine look, the timing was the timing, but I think, because it's funny when you say that about that particular point of time, because someone was saying to me the other day, I was in a meeting and they were like, oh, can't we just have some happy gay stories? But that's right. exactly what was being said
that's right.
to you back then.
So it is like the more it changes, the more it stays the same.
Exactly. Mm. And also, what I think what you're saying is really that you want to be authentic and do what you want to do when you want to do it.
That's
and
right.
tell the stories that you feel are important at that time. And I've noticed, again, having this production company go in these meetings when they say, well, really, they're looking for this now. They're looking, you know, where
right.
this thing that I think is really great. It's a bit too dark. They're looking for more uplifting stories right now. And blah, blah, blah.
Blue skies.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Is that and what they're saying? Blue skies. Yeah.
It's really, you just feel it sort of, again, it's those people in the rooms who are just making these sort of decisions, and I guess they poll their audiences. And I actually think the films that you're talking about that we're looking back on are films that were authentic stories, people really wanting to tell them at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you have that as... Do you have a sort of set of values when you're sitting with your business partner to go, it just, we got to love it, or just be da-da-da?
I mean, we say all those things. I guess one of the things we try and figure out is what makes a movie makeable. Mm-hmm. And is it a director with a track record? That's mm-hmm. often the easiest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But those are few and far between, you know? Then is it a story that feels very compelling and compelling enough to cross borders? Like, could it work internationally as well as here? Is there a part in it that's going to attract an actor of a certain stature? You know, for example, sometimes it's hard to do an ensemble piece because an actor's thinking, well, if I'm going to go be in your stinky indie, I want it to be my stinky indie.
Right.
You know, I don't want to, like, come in for 2 days. I want to...
Fascinating.
You
yeah.
know. Mm. So those are the thing, you know, like, is it about something that feels zeitgeisty? Is it... those are always the things we kind of try to... Mm. And sometimes we really love something, but we just see how hard it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And we just have to decide if we can put our resources into it or not.
Right.
You know?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What other ones have been moneymakers for you?
God, you know, sometimes we make some money at the initial sale.
Yeah.
You know, everything we ever did for Miramax or the Weinstein Co. was like, you know, didn't matter how much money it made.
You never saw the money.
Never.
Right.
Never. Never. Ever.
No.
It's because it was paying for investigations via black box
exactly.
into
Roland
Farrow.
For Black Cube. Exactly.
I remember that when I got I did a Dimension film, and it was which is their other arm and of Miramax, and I remember this when the film hit certain, you know, that thing with certain number of millions, you got more money, and it did all these things, and they still managed to say,
wow.
"Oh, well, we didn't mean to include Canada." Or something, you know what I mean?
Right.
It has to be blah blah as well, and it was just I just thought, why do they even do these things?
Yeah.
But it becomes a thing. It's like how big your trailer is, you know, how many points you're going to get at 100 million or whatever. It's things that are just sort of businessy accoutrements, but they don't actually mean anything.
No, they don't.
My friend Adam said something the other day about we're talking about this idea, this thing he's written, which is hilarious. It's a bank heist film, but it's a sperm bank. And it's so good,
great?
And it's the sperm of this sort of special sperm place in Seattle, where it's Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, you know, all these people's sperm, you know, and Obama, all these kind of great men, and then these radical lesbian activists decide to steal it. But we're like this. These people are interested because they said it's like a female buddy movie,
right?
You know, and that's what they want right now. And I said to him, you know, I just want to check those characters. He goes, it's even better. They're all queer. and he had this interesting conversation where he said, you know, being a gay white man is not part of diverse anymore. That's not what you know what I mean. We're out of that sort of. It's not enough.
I feel that I was in a room with a casting director and a producer, right? And the casting director shut the door in between like a casting and went, well, isn't this exciting? You know, three gay men making something together. And I went, this has been going on for years.
Yeah.
this is not part of the revolution. Just a flag.
No barricades. Yeah.
Yeah. Gay men. Funny. Gay men run entertainment. Like, come on.
It's hilarious.
It is funny,
That's
isn't
funny.
It?
Well, yeah. My favorite analogy that I heard somebody use for producing, and I can't credit them because I can't remember who it was, but they said producing is like throwing the most extravagant party in the world, not being invited, and then being handed the bill for it afterwards.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'd say that's kind of what it's like. Yeah.
You said a wonderful thing in your book that has always stayed with me, the Killer Life book.
Oh, yeah.
Which, because I love how pragmatic you are. Like, I think I'm obsessed with people who are brilliant, but also extremely pragmatic and like, no, it's simple. Just do this. You know, they don't try and create a kind of mythology. Screen of mythology around
right,
creativity
right.
and all of that. Because I think it stops people doing it.
Right,
you know, and I think
that makes me nuts.
Yeah, yeah. But you said you have this test for whether you should work with a director.
Yes.
Do you know this test for whether you work with a director? What is
it? It's what I said was, and this is true, like we don't make mistakes too often, but every now and then we do, and we get like that psycho director from hell. Mm. And then there you are, you're on the train with them, and it's like, what do you, like, you know, and turning to each other going, how do we get off? And it's like, you can't get off. So we keep saying to each other, what's the test we could give to a director to make sure that they are actually sane enough to work with? We came up with a test with just one question, which is, do you have a relationship with another living thing? And it can be, you know, an animal, a plant that's been kept alive, a significant other, something that shows that you have the ability to sustain a relationship, because you'd be surprised. A lot of the ones that are completely out of their minds, you dig a little and you find out they don't.
That's fascinating.
It's always stayed with me for anything in life, you know, it's just to like keep an eye on, like, do they have friends or do they keep their friends, you know?
That's right.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it. I mean, look, I feel like what my job really is to try and create an environment that allows people to do their best work.
Right.
And, you know, be as honest and, you know, we talk about transparency all the time, but what I mean by that is at every level, so that, you know, everybody feels like, maybe we don't have everything we want on this movie, but it's not a shifty situation.
Mm.
Like, you know, we're being straight with everybody about what, you know, what our resources are and what we're using them for.
Yeah. That for example, remember what I was going to say about
treating your load.
That I'm about to go in, you know, starting the process of doing this thing with Jennifer again, where we direct the film together again. And I've always really enjoyed being directed by or directing with another person, because what it does is it opens out. You have to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just do it psychically. So you have to actually say things in front of other people, and therefore it opens the circle.
Yep.
And I think that's what is lacking sometimes with one person, the director as
right.
God, that you don't have this. You don't have. It doesn't feel like everyone's involved in the or even cognizant of what the process is. And so my favorite things have always been being directed by two people.
Really? Yeah.
That's interesting. And I think say for Todd, for example, who, you know, obviously I think is a fantastic director, his he certainly directs on his own, but he is so secure that he does not get defensive about other people's
right.
suggestions.
Right.
Which is what I think is 99% of the time, it's the insecurity
that's
of the director.
What that's why the walls go up.
Yeah. Or as we say, the most damning thing we can say about a director is, we'll say, so how is so-and-so working out? We'll go, my indecision is final.
I love that. But that's
like, I mean, that
tremendous.
Just, you see that.
I love that.
And you just see, you know, you see all the crew do that, it's like, oh God, here we go.
And just that thing of, I think, well, it's such a shame that people can't just say, I don't know. Yeah, right. I don't know the answer to
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
We've invented a culture where you've got to just have a decision now.
And a response. That's exactly it.
Everyone has to like follow that person when you know that they haven't actually worked out. They're just too scared. Yeah. So they just go, oh, well, I want it to be like this.
Right.
You're like, okay, well, let's all get behind that while he works it out. And it's always men, though. I don't want to generalise, but I do think it is...
Who are behaving like that?
Well, give us a little time to catch up.
Yeah,
we'll become just as
awful. Just as dreadful and dumb. Oh, it's going to be a good 10 years. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
This is such fun.
That was Christine Vachon. Wasn't that lovely? I see you've got crisps there now, Christopher.
A little bowl. I'm showing Alan on the Zoom.
Where did you get those?
My husband dropped in a little cream cheese sort of thing.
William, your husband, he's like the Scarlet Pimpernel of snacks. He's always sort of coming in whilst we're in the middle of an interview and giving you a gin and tonic or some crisps. Or else I see him bending over doing something in the background of shot sometimes.
Alan.
And that's not unpleasant, let me tell you. But
yes, it's a bit like in, is it those Disney things? Was it Tom and Jerry where you only ever saw
the lady who was the cook, you just see her legs and when they were under the thing. And also, you know, Eloise at the Plaza, you know, that's that book. And
was that a movie?
I think it was a TV thing. I was in it actually. I did a voice in Eloise, one of the Eloise episodes. But bizarrely, and sort of little queer moment of interest here, that the person who wrote the Eloise at the Plaza books, which had a kid's book, you know, a book with pictures, and you never saw the parents, you only saw their legs in the back of their heads. That was written by Kay Thompson, who just happens to be Liza Minnelli's godmother. Isn't that fascinating?
Oh, really?
Yes, who knew? And something, I think the other person who was Liza's god was something like Ira Gershwin or something. It was something, she's got crazy lineage, of course.
It always comes back to Liza Minnelli for some reason.
Well, yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm also fine with that lovely chat with Christine Vachon. And I just love that woman. I think she's just absolutely salt of the blooming earth and a total darling. And we'd love to know what you thought about that interview and about just anything you want to say to us, ladies and gentlemen, and those who don't define us either. And you can write to us at hello@homosapienspodcast.com. And we look forward to hearing from you. Where else can they contact us, Chris?
At Homo Sapiens on Instagram, Alan. Mm-hmm. Or you can contact us on at Homo Sapiens Podcast on Facebook. And now I'm going to tell you about t-shirts, Alan, because some people want them.
How would I win a t-shirt? How would I win a Homo Sapiens t-shirt? What would I have to do?
You'd have to go to Apple Podcasts and you'd have to write us a review. And then on Homo Sapiens Extra, we will read out the reviews and pick our favorite review and give them a t-shirt.
And that doesn't necessarily mean a favorite, like being nicest to us. We are very egalitarian. We sometimes give a t-shirt to the one who's been the meanest.
Mm.
Just because sometimes we need to, you know, we need to live and learn. Also, what if I wanted to buy a Homo Sapiens sweatshirt or a t-shirt?
I think you're talking about merchandise there, Alan. Well, let me help you. You go to everpress.com/Homo Sapiens. The website's wonderfully easy to use and it'll all be to your door within a matter of minutes, I'm
like
sure.
6 months.
Yeah. And I think that's about it for this week's episode.
I think so. See you next week for Homo Sapiens Extra and thank you for listening.
Thank you, listeners.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Powered by Spirit Studios.